Everyone. So, instead of discussing one particular voice of tshuva, because we're getting a little bit crunch time, we're running out of time a little bit. Come on in, guys. Come on in, boss. Come on in. I want to talk about a particular voice of tshuva, which starts to emerge in, from the Gemara. So now we're in the later part of the second base of Mikdash. Remember, yesterday we were talking about Chizkiah and Menashe. We don't have too many voices of tshuva in the early part of the second base of Mikdash. Some of the early people didn't really talk about tshuva. We have Daniel's tshuva in Babel. But I want to skip to the end of the second base of Mikdash, which is the Tanayim. And I want you to see that tshuva is a language that aggregates and then evolves as time goes on. So it's not like everyone understood what tshuva was from the get-go, and everyone had the same words we have. They may have had the same ideas but different words. They may have had different ideas. Remember, Adam didn't realize he could perform tshuva. He looks at Kain and says, what does that mean? So tshuva is a work in progress. You learn from people. You learn from the past. Obviously, David HaMelech blew the roof open by writing a sefer on tshuva. And as we get to Aseres HaMei Tshuva, we'll hone in on Sefer Tehillim. We're going to really spend a lot of time on Sefer Tehillim doing the Aseres HaMei Tshuva proper. So in Chazal, you don't really have that many words to describe tshuva emotionally. The words of, let's say, Gemara words aren't that emotionally, they're more clinical and technical. What you have is a fascinating series in which Chazal glorify how powerful tshuva is by using the word gedola. There's a series of six or seven gedolas in the Gemara and Yoma. Tshuva is so great that. Tshuva is so great that. Tshuva is so great that. And I'll talk about them in a moment, but I want you to see them in context. Someone actually pointed out that all these gedolas were stated by people in Israel, by Tanaim in Israel. Because in Israel, even today, there's more of a ahava, there's more of a recognition that you're living in Hashem's backyard. In Chutz La'aretz, where you're fighting to protect your identity against the encroachment of your surroundings, people are more like, how do we protect our Masara? Let's shrink in and submit ourselves to Yiras Shemayim rather than trying to build a relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu as a child would with a father, where even though it's hierarchical, you still want there to be some degree of love, parity, bidirectionalism. So these gedolos were stated actually by people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, whereas in Babel, in a very different view of tshuva. Whether it's right or wrong, it's fascinating. So let me give you a little bit of a context. When we think of tshuva, we think of tshuva as a very dark experience. It focuses on a particular trait, and is accompanied by a lot of tears, and is very private. And it is that as well. And we would call that tshuva meira. There's a whole different form of tshuva. And hopefully we'll get to Rav Kook a little bit, because a lot of people have never been exposed to Rav Kook. One of the best ways to start your exposure is through Oros HaTshuva, but it's a very, very difficult sefer to read. But his description of tshuva, which comes from these gedolos, and I'll read some of these gedolos for you, are different. I made a list, just as we were saying Kaddish, of five differences, okay? Difference number one. Typical tshuva, the way we think about it, is reactive. You failed, you have a flaw, you did a sin, you have to respond to it. You have to respond to tshuva. Whereas in Rav Kook's tshuva, or even in some of these gedolos tshuva, it's proactive. It's a constant process of human growth, and you'll see not just of human growth, and doesn't respond to a particular sin. It's not that, oh, I fell apart, I'm responding to it. Tshuva is always in your heart, and it's not reacting to anything, but it's surging towards a state of greater perfection. So it's not reactive, but it's proactive. It's not limited. Tshuva can sometimes be limited. What are my flaws? What are my areas? Moral inventory. Let me shine a spotlight. Tshuva is holistic. How can I improve as a person across the board? The chataim that I have to overcome, my personality traits, physically, Rav Kook talks about that tshuva is supposed to make you a healthier person, physically, mentally, psychologically. So it's not limited. It's just not reactive, but it's not limited to particular actions or vices or addictions or failures, but it's holistic. It's complete. Is it sad or is it happy? Remember, the book of Rav Kook, I keep referring to this even though it's written 2,000 years later, but it's based on all these gedolos. He quotes all these gedolos. Okay, is it lighter? I'm using Rav Kook just to help open your mind, so we'll read some of these gedolos. So is it dark and sad? And I feel this tshuva is very dark and sad, and I feel during this period very dark, not gloomy, but as if I'm descending into a very dark place in my own authentic self and trying to uncover ideas of myself that I don't normally like to look at and think about, and I cry, and I cry, I suffer, I struggle, sometimes I cry. Whereas in Rav Kook, it's the light of tshuva, and it's very radiant and very happy and affirming and gratifying to just become a better person. This is absolutely crucial. Okay, this is number five. Okay, actually number four. So let's look, there are four. It's reactive, proactive, limited, holistic, happy or sad. What is the sweep? For Rav Kook, tshuva is something that affects the entire universe. The entire universe is in a state of tshuva. How could the universe be in a state of tshuva? The universe doesn't sin, the moon doesn't sin, the stars don't sin. But tshuva is this innate desire for completion that Hashem placed in the entire Bria. And the world is inevitably, ineluctably surging towards that. And when you do tshuva, you align yourself with this force in the universe towards shleimus, towards geula, towards a better state. And when you sin, you move out of that alignment, because whenever you're aligned with Hashem, you're shalim, and the world is trying to find itself closer to Hashem. So it's not just your tshuva. Your tshuva realigns you with a larger reality of the universe surging for shleimus. Those would be the four differences between the way we normally view tshuva, the way Rav Kook viewed tshuva, and now let's read some of the Gedolos. And you'll hear some of the things I said coming through the Gedolos. Okay, so this is the Gemara in Yoma on Daf Pei Vav. Okay, let's start with the bottom of the page. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Levi, Gedola tshuva shemagas at kisi akavot. What does it mean, magas at kisi akavot? You're not just reforming and repairing an action. You're trying to realign yourself with the Kisei HaKavod. You're trying to be in the presence of Hashem more than you would otherwise. At Kisei HaKavod. And of course, the pasuk. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Gedol HaTshuva. Shedoches lo tasei batara. How can tshuva be docha lo tasei? What, you have to do tshuva on Shabbos, you have to write it down. Gedocha Shabbos chas v'shalom lach. Because there's an issue in the Torah to be machzir grusha, so if you divorce a woman, you can't take her back if she gets married in the interim to someone else. And yet, Pasuk in Yirmiyah compares our divorce to our Kodesh Baruch Hu when we left Yerushalayim, and yet through tshuva, we can be taken back as a wife. This is not about Moshe Tarragon in a corner performing tshuva, this is about Am Yisrael returning to its previous state of being married to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And my tshuva is part of that more collective. Remember, the second base of Mikdash, Yom Kippur is more collectivist than it is today. For us, Yom Kippur is a very private experience. You go under your talis, you say Bidur, or you sit in the corner and say Bidur. Those days, you came to the base of Mikdash and you watched the Kohen Gadol with millions of people. You watched him perform the Korbanos, you waited for that red streak to turn white, you bowed down with hundreds of thousands of people. It wasn't as private as an experience. Your tshuva was more, how does Hashem view our people? Oh, now I'm part of Am Yisrael, now therefore I can remarry, I can Shmarach can remarry me. So you're hearing some of these differences. I'm Rav Yonasan. Gidola tshuva, shemekareves hasagula. It doesn't just mean your particular tshuva for your chatoyim is going to create a schos and therefore there'll be more gula. No, broaden it. Gula means the repair of the world. The repair of our people, the repair of human history, in a cosmic sense, the repair of the universe, closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, gula sayikom, not just gula sa'adam. And tshuva is not just adding to it, but realigning yourself with this process that's happening even without your tshuva. There's a process of gula that's happening without you. Tshuva is, you want to be part of it? You want to be part of it? Realign yourself with that process of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world surging towards a greater state. Nasalo kizachuyos. Right, person, or Ish Lakish said, Gedola tshuva, shizdonos nasalo kizachuyos. And all your terrible, premeditated, disgusting, vile sins become meritorious. Why tshuva is transformative, it's holistic. Right, yeah, it's not just a magic trick. I take a fake that I did 2 days ago and I flip it around, it becomes as close. That's just magic. It's if tshuva is transformative and it's growth and it transforms your entire self. So life's a process, and in that process you fail, but when you recover, you become a better person, and of course it transforms you. It doesn't mean magically, that sin that I did 3 nights ago, that becomes a mitzvah. It just means that there's this process that led you to become a better person, and you may not have engaged in it had you not fallen, and had you not realized you have to improve. Remember, you don't have to fall to improve, but sometimes it takes a fall to realize you have to improve. Or finally, Gedola tshuva, Hayre Meir Omer, Gedola tshuva, Shibishul Yachid, Shosa tshuva, Mochalin Lo L'chal Olam Kula. If you do tshuva, the entire world gets, yeah, how's my tshuva going to affect the world? Because there's something larger than me happening. And my tshuva is aligning with that Mechilas L'chal Olam. Gedola tshuva, the last one, Shemevi Riflas Liola, that it brings refuah to the world. So you just see, some of the people breeze by this Gemara, and they don't realize there's a different frequency in this Gemara. And it's not the same frequency necessarily of David and Melech. Now, did David think in these terms? Maybe yes, maybe not. But it doesn't come out in Tehillim. What comes out in Tehillim is that focused, reactive, sad, mournful, oh my goodness, I'm terrible, I've sinned, I don't know where I'm going to live. I better improve myself, or else who knows what awaits me. What we would call tshuva mehira. And all of a sudden, you've got this series of five or six gedola hatshuva. And gedola doesn't mean quantitatively how great it is, but gedola, how beautiful it is, how glorious it is, how magnificent it is. And it comes out from these gemaras, one or two midrashim, add one or two other gedolas. And it's interesting, this is a voice that becomes part of our masara. Again, how early was this voice developed? Maybe it was before, and it doesn't make a difference. Rav Kook focused on that voice. Rav Kook, in that sefer, Aras HaTshuva, this is the world of tshuva that you see. Again, it's very, very hard to read. It's poetry. It's a very dense heap of poetry. I hope that maybe for a little bit of time, I'll spend one day reading a few lines. Just maybe a few lines here or there for you, or not the photostatic, because it's very hard to understand the Hebrew. But just to know that this is, when you read the Gemara and Yoma, you're dealing with a very different statement, very different, as a frequency of tshuva. The series I call the Gedola series, the Gedolim series of Jews. Okay, have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. We'll see where we're heading tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe we'll start some of the Tanaim specifically, some of the stories maybe in Tanaim. Okay.